So before I share the word of God at this very moment, I must great thanks to great God who has helped us. Really, he is very faithful because he has told us that I will be with you. I will help you. That is my testimony. And when I have this day today as the first day of our chapel time or new semester, I challenge you to rely on the faithful eternal helper. The name is Jesus Christ. And here is one of my fundamental questions which have followed me at least in last 1 year. As you may know that my journey of studying theology started in 1971 as a student at Korea Nazarene Bible School in Pyeongtaek one semester, and then I moved from Pyeongtaek to Seoul. I had enjoyed very much to study theology, sometimes philosophy, sometimes literature. Finally, I came to study John Wesley's life, ministry, and theology. But very recently, I have come to face another theological issue, that is, what would be the fundamental concern of God? What would be the fundamental, ultimate purpose of God? What would be the fundamental and ultimate will of God? Not just one of the many purposes, one of the many wills, one of the many concerns, but the ultimate concern of God. What is the ultimate will of God? Probably not here. Then let me read my manuscript very slowly and very clearly. But my former president and academic dean, Dr. Cunningham, gave me 20 minutes. So I must be obedient to his direction. If philosophy is a science to seek after fundamental facts about nature, including human beings and the universe, religion could be another type of science to seek after the fundamental fact about supernatural being. You turn your face over there, so, okay. There was a time that philosophy was one part of the dimension of religion. But from some period of time, philosophy became an independent area from the realm of religion. If the former regards the human race as the crucial means of seeking after fundamental truth, the religion considers their canons as a crucial means or reference in their seeking after truth. So when we think of philosophy, we think of human reason. When we think of religion, we must think of faith or canons. Then if we define seminarian students as those who study science of theology, they could be asked, what is the ultimate purpose? What is the ultimate concern? What is the ultimate will of God? on the basis of our Bible, which is the canon of Christianity. Do not enjoy just fragmentary themes of theology. Rather, seek after continually what is the ultimate concern of God we'd like to solve with our whole heart, with our whole mind. If we think that one of the tragedies of modern people is that they seek after something, but they seem not to seek after fundamental truth with their philosophical thought. Modern people just enjoy secularism. They have no much deep thought. Whatever they feel, they would like to pursue that. They have no thought of value. Only they think of health, money, power, property, big size, big car, big salary. Probably tall man too. You do not love, so my communication is not so high. Okay, let me continue. And also, when I think of the field of seminaries in Korea, in Europe, in North America, when I see you, it reminds me of me who enjoyed just theological items. When we deal with the theme of the will of God, one of the crucial contexts may be found in the prayer of Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane. Here, Jesus said that, "Father, do not do according to my will, but do according to your will." Then, what is the will of God, which is manifested in this context? It's nothing else than his being crucified on the cross. He, as a human, did not want to die on the cross, but he knew his crucifixion on the cross is the will of God. Then could he say that the crucifixion is the fundamental concern or the fundamental will of God? Probably not. His crucifixion could be the will of God toward Jesus, but it could not be the fundamental will of God. God willed Jesus to be raised again. Yet the will of God was not over at the day of his resurrection. God willed to give his life to all of those who believe in Jesus on the basis of the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. But still, his will was not over here. He willed to breathe his life to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the miraculous event of crucifixion, resurrection, and also the presence of the Holy Spirit. The will of God has continued in terms of transforming, sanctification, of the hearts of the believers and of using them to be means of giving life, his life, to non-believers and of using the matured children or the servant of the Lord to give his life until the day of the completion of the New Jerusalem as manifested at the last verses of the last chapter of the last book of the, that is the Revelation. That the last couple of verses of the chapter 22 of Revelation talked about the river of new river of life and then the tree of life. The fundamental will of God, that is to give his eternal life to human beings, is not simply manifested in the garden of prayer or in the New Jerusalem. The fundamental will of God is manifested in the first three chapters of the first book, that is Genesis. Genesis 1, chapter 1, verse 1 proclaims that God created the heavens and the earth. God's actions of creation continued until he took a Sabbath on the seventh day of his first and prime creation days. His creation of the first human called Adam is the final scene of his first creation. When God created the first man, he intended three stages. The first one, he created the first human by dust of earth. Secondly, God gave his breath through the nose of the first man. Finally, God willed Adam to eat the tree of life. According to Genesis chapter 2, verse 22, the function of tree of life is to give eternal life. That is the life of God himself. God willed to become the father of Adam, not simply a creature of Adam. So God's ultimate concern is very closely related to his fathership. He is more than omniscience, more than omnipotent, more than omnipresence. God wants to be my father, your father. If believe, say amen. Amen. God intended to create Adam in his image to receive the eternal life and the attributes of God. God willed Adam and his children to be manifested and rule over the world. Multiplied. For this, God willed Adam to exercise his own will given by God to obey God's first command not to eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. At this very moment, yes, we know that the importance of freedom, the importance of free will provided by God's grace. But the first man, Adam, was tempted not to take the tree of life or the eternal life of God. However, God did not give up his fundamental will to give his eternal life to human beings. He made a critical decision to be incarnated into a human being called Jesus through his own spirit. Jesus, the man and the God, exercised his free will to die, and he was raised according to the will of God and be given the authority to give the eternal life, which is the spirit of Jesus and the word of Jesus, as manifest in the latter part of John 6:63, my word is the spirit and the life. So the word of God, the spirit of God, the life of God are trying oneness. Whenever the word of God works, there is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And there we receive not only the Spirit, but also his life. Jesus, the man and the God, exercised his, another one. The will of God is not to simply to give his eternal life through crucifixion, the resurrection, and the presence of the Holy Spirit, which has been called being born again, regeneration, or becoming children of God. Providing these three miraculous acts of God, by which the grace of regeneration is given to all who accept him, God has been willing us to participate in the will of God, to give his eternal life through our miraculous acts of we must be crucified, we must be resurrected, we must fully ready to welcome the Holy Spirit. The second act of creation to give his eternal life through the acts of transformation shall be continued until the eternal life of God in us to be completed perfectly in terms of transfiguration, the spiritualized body or the glorified body at the New Jerusalem, as well presented particularly in the book of Revelation. So we seminarians are very familiar with these terms, regeneration, sanctification, glorification. When you deal with the regeneration, it must take place in our spirit. When we deal with the theme of transformation or sanctification, it must be related to our mind or our soul. And when we deal with the theme of glorification, it must be related to our body. So when God deals with our salvation is not simply our spirit. Our salvation is not simply our mind or soul. Our salvation is not simply related to our body, but holistically. Then here we may ask a question, why did Adam need three stages at the Garden of Eden? Why did God will to take three things to create Adam in terms of dust, breath of life, and the tree of life? And why do we need three stages in recovering the prime creation in terms of regeneration, transformation, and transfiguration? I would like to quote at this very moment the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. The peace of God will preserve you wholly, and your spirit, your soul, and your body will be preserved blameless until the day of the coming of Jesus Christ. At least from the time of philosopher Plato, who teaches the dualistic worldview in terms of the visible world and the invisible world, the Western society has been familiar to see this world dualistically. Body and spirit, the visible world and invisible world. To those who have been familiar to this philosophy of dualism, the Bible has been interpreted dually too. One of the signs is well provided in their interpretation of human nature. According to the Western thought, or philosophers usually, human nature is usually, if not all, understood to be composed of the spirit and the body, the soul and the body, or the invisible part and the visible part. So sometimes the Western thought replaced the spirit with the soul. Spirit and soul are one, transferable, just invisible matter, invisible thing, invisible being. From this perspective, the 1 Thessalonians of chapter 5, verse 23 should be interpreted in dualistic way rather than in triple way. Personally, I think that our understanding of human nature in triple way is not only a crucial point to understand the Bible holistically, but also in our ministry to serve the church or the people of the church in terms of regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. If I am asked by some person why the churches in Europe, the churches in America, the churches in Korea even, why the churches have not been growing, rather being collapsed gradually, I think one of the key answers could be found in their view of a dualistic interpretation of the Bible. The triple understanding of human nature starts from the story of the prime creation of Adam at the Garden of Eden. When the first human was created by dust and breath of life, he became a living soul or living being who was able to function in triple ways. Surely, he was able to eat, drink, sleep. Secondly, he was able to think, feel, and choose. Thirdly, he was able to communicate with the spiritual being, that is, God and even the evil spirit. These three functions are closely related to human body, human mind, and human spirit. These three are independently function, but not three objects. It is not just three independent things, but mutually related each other. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are three but one. But after the fall of Adam, by choosing not God, but the evil spirit by his wrong exercise of his free will, Adam died spiritually in terms of no more active communication with God, but active communication with the evil spirit. And his mind and his body became distorted. Adam felt afraid of appearing in front of God. God failed to fulfill his will to be Adam's father by giving his own life, the eternal life. Actually, God remained at that very moment to be the only creator. God had to remain as a creature of Adam, not the father of Adam. My fellow students of APNTS, have we been born again to receive the Spirit of God, the eternal life of God? You must ask yourself, really, I am a born-again Christian. Before starting study theology here, you must ask yourself very faithfully, very honestly, God is my Father, or God remains only the creator? Have we been anxious to be transformed every day? Is only Jesus Christ your Lord in your thinking, in your feeling, in your choosing? Are you willingly ready to deny yourself, take your cross, and follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's ask the Spirit of God, anoint our spirit and saturate my mind, my feeling, my will. Otherwise, I must be the first Adam to choose my free will given by God's grace to exercise not according to God's will, but my will. Have we been being anxious to be transfigured at the day of New Jerusalem? Let's keep patience to be transfigured at the day of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, God's will is to regenerate the human children to his own children, to transform his children to become matured children or matured servant of God. And his will is to transfigure the human beings individually and holistically. Let us give ourselves individually and collectively at the Church of Christ, for God the Father to use us for his dispensing his eternal life through the ministry of the Holy Spirit with, through, and in us. Let us build the best APNTS for the will of God, who is the eternal life in Jesus Christ and in us, who has been helped by the Holy Spirit to fulfill the ultimate will of God. May God bless you.